बंदे रूप सनातन रघु जग श्री जीव गोपाल को।
Okay, before that 2 to 5, I wanted to say some... Okay, 2 to 5 I already said. I was telling you we can make a one-to-one comparison between when Krishna was present in this world, how this world was. And when Krishna disappeared, went back to his abode, how this world became. It is like when there is... How when there is a power supply, the fan is on, the lights are on, when there is a power cut, immediately things become black. Like that, when Kali Yuga begins, Kali Yuga is considered a dark age, isn't it? Kalo nashta drishamesha, puranarko adunoditaha. In that verse he says, Kali Yuga is a dark age. So, when Krishna, therefore, if you know how this world was when Krishna was present, that we discussed yesterday, correct, no? And then later we discussed jihma prayam javakritam, Shatya karmam cha sauhridam, pitru matra sugrid bratra dampati naam chakalkanam. So that verse gives a sample of what is Kali Yuga. It says, jihma prayam vyabhartam. The business transactions were becoming polluted, contaminated. And there were also quarrels and hypocritical behavior due to the influence of Kali. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was shocked. Because in his kingdom he had never seen such things, ever. So, when Srila Prabhupada went to the West, he brought Krishna with him. Therefore, when he established Krishna in New York or San Francisco or Los Angeles, immediately the living entities became cheerful, delightful, happy. The whole atmosphere became changed as soon as Krishna comes. And Krishna comes in what ways Krishna comes? He comes as the chanting and dancing of the holy name. He comes as prasadam. He comes as divya jnana in the form of shastra. Prabhupada gave lectures where there are the constant glorification of Krishna going on, where there is chanting and dancing going on, where devotees are eating only prasad, where there is darshan of Krishna, and devotees going and distributing the books to the other suffering souls also, and bringing them into the fold of our movement. And then, with all these things, Prabhupada himself being a pure devotee, being in the available for them to answer their questions and everything. So, people saw a complete transformation of the environment, ambience. And they were becoming happy. They couldn't express what kind of happiness they are feeling. So, the presence of Krishna brings religion and knowledge immediately into action. The knowledge increases, when the wisdom increases, in which guna your wisdom increases? See, that means he elevated people to sattva guna. So the all this the cheating, quarrel, hypocrisy, bad habits, they all can only prevail when a person is in rajoguna or tamoguna. If any of the bad habits are with us, we can understand that we are yet to rise to sattva guna. So Prabhupada immediately turned on the knob of sattva guna when he increased by early morning program. As soon as you find uncleanliness, for example, somebody eats prasad, the juta plate is lying from afternoon to night in the same place. Or somebody dumps dumps dirty clothes and keeps or litters it in the room here and there. Generally, people take some action only when some special guests come. Correct, no? Then people clean everything and put a blanket and say, now please don't go to that room. Everything else you can watch, isn't it? So, in this way, we can find out in our lifestyle also, what are all the components of tamaguna, rajaguna are there in our life. To that degree, we will find knowledge also. We will find knowledge. Even if some little knowledge you have, you will be unable to activate that knowledge because of lower gunas. But when we elevate ourselves to sattva guna makes us very light. One will be like a swab of cotton. Because Sattvaguna carries a person with these two things, knowledge and happiness. Knowledge and therefore Prabhupada, that song is there, no? Markain Bhagavad. There he talks about Rajaguna, correct, no? Rajaguna and Tamaguna. Rajaguna and Tamaguna, they increase the material weights. The material weight keeps the living entity submerged in the ocean of samsara. Imagine somebody catches you by the neck and submerges you under water. The dunking causes you problems, right? No? You want some breathing. So, in the same manner, Rajoguna Tamaguna submerges us in the ocean of samsara and we suffer. We want to come out. So, Prabhupada gave opportunity to living entities in the West. You want to come out? I will bring you out. How? Take this Sattvaguna principles. In Rajoguna, there is sex life, attraction for the opposite sex, which is also in the subtle form of prestige, name, fame, man, saman, and all that. So you will find when Prabhupada taught the people how to be like simple children, chant, dance, eat prasad and lie down on the floor, and then every day serve, because life is anyway temporary. It will be finished. Don't waste time in this world occupying this and that. So in this way, you will find, His Holiness Tamalakshmi Maharaj says in the book Servant of the Servant, he says boys, girls, everybody in America used to go together for book distribution in Harinam Sankirtan, chanting, dancing. There are some pictures you would have seen. He says we never, the thought of sex life never crossed our head, he says. Although we were young boys, we were young girls, there was no attraction for, so the thought of sex life for doing some mischief arises in the mind because of Rajaguna, Tamaguna only. And when one rises above it in Sattvaguna, where Lord is present, the knowledge and the happiness, these two are immediately present. Knowledge, not only happiness, knowledge, happiness and vairagya also. Jnanam, vairagyam, detachment, knowledge, detachment and happiness, all three are present, where Lord is present. So, detachment from material enjoyment and full knowledge of sambandha between jivas and prakriti and Krishna happiness that arises from shelter of Krishna. This can be experienced by the living entities. So therefore, Prabhupada very intelligently created the sattvaguna ambience wherever he went in the West. And then in that ambience, so right now preaching is becoming very difficult in the West. Many preachers are trying to make devotees. Indians are becoming somewhat devotees. But to make a Western person is very difficult without creating that ambience. Because in a certain ambience, certain things flourish. Like you see, yesterday we were coming in the train. So we were peeping through the window and watching. When the train stopped in one place, in the gutter, there was some kind of nala, like a gutter water. In that, my Lord, millions of mosquitoes. Because mosquitoes flourish in a gutter which is stagnant. You make a gutter stagnant, you will invite mosquitoes, you will see. Similarly, you create a sattvaguna ambience, you will attract living entities who will want to commit their lives. Sometimes our devotees say, Prabhuji, nobody, boys are not coming. We are unable to make solid devotees. Why are we not able to make? Because we are not creating that ambience. Or we are relaxing the rules regarding, you know, one can watch Wi-Fi, anything you want you can watch in Wi-Fi, any kind of non, and then you are attracting a gutter. So the gutter will only attract mosquitoes. You will not get powerful people. The powerful people only will come, as we said, vairagya has to be there. Along with jnanam and vairagyam, along with that evam prasanna manaso, which is result of sattvaguna. So, because of fear for Prabhupada, the people in the West also strictly followed. Prabhupada said, I have not come here to give, you know, pleasure to the Americans. I have come here to give them the wisdom. So he gave the wisdom and enunciated the principles, and then we saw a powerful movement coming up. And those people eventually who did not follow the rules and regulative principles and chanting and everything, they fell away. And Prabhupada was not at all shocked or surprised. He said, this is naturally expected. He said, I give diksha to everybody. Those who are sincerely following, they will keep on flourishing more and more. And other fellows who don't follow, they will stoop down. And some fellows will stoop down and still hang around in the name of devotee, by compromising on rules, regulations, everything. Only they will wear the garb of a senior and they can hang around without making any advancement at all. So, Prabhupada gave so many letters, so much correspondence is there in Prabhupada. The main reason is this only, that we have to create the ambience where Krishna will be attracted to come. And when Krishna comes, all other jivas will become attracted to him and they will also come. Whether it is a home, whether it is a temple, wherever it is. So, Yudhishthira Maharaj was the ideal follower of two personalities, Krishna and Bhishma. Krishna is the father of religious principles. And Bhishma is a great commander and most knowledgeable personality in Kshatriya Dharma. So Krishna only ordered Yudhishthira to follow Bhishma. So, and Bhishma gave all guidelines on how an ideal king should rule. And Krishna gave all guidelines on how an ideal king should be dharmic, religious. So he got both. He got best of both, everything. So he was and the Raja Rishi, there are two components, Raja and Rishi. So about Raja, who taught? Bhishma. About being a Rishi, who taught? Krishna. So he got the best guidance. So in this way, Yudhishthira Maharaj became a very powerful religious king. You know, he was ruling the world very ideally, so much so that even nature was paying tax by pouring down rains in time. Seasonal fruits were coming. The Prakriti was filled with colorful flowers and fruits, and rivers were full of water, and all living entities were happy. Living entities in the sky, living entities on land, living entities in water. Everybody was happy getting their quota of food, their place to live peacefully. In this way, the human beings were also religious and pious, and they were very happy to follow the religious principles in Yudhishthira Maharaj's times. And in such a place, you will find, due to the piety which is overwhelming, you will find husband and wife will cooperate. They will put aside, you know, small cliques. Clique means quarrels. Small quarrels, they will forget it and they will cooperate. They will not develop any misunderstanding. Son will be obedient to the father. Students will be obedient to the teacher. And the businessman will keep marginal, small profit, so that they will do business more as a service, correct, no? And nobody will dare to tell a lie. People know, if I tell a lie, 12 sakshis are watching me. So, and ultimately, the Supreme Lord, a super soul, is watching. So in this way, people were very mindful of what they spoke and what they did. And in this way, everybody lived a very pious religious life, and because of which there was happiness everywhere. And when we lead a irreligious life, there will be dejection, which will come in this chapter, when Yudhishthira Maharaj will ask, there are 11 causes of dejection or depression. So they all are a list of items of irreligion, which he will say subsequently. See, when we commit sin, the sin produces misery. When misery comes, then we feel unhappy. This is a connection. But when we do virtue, that virtue makes us align with Krishna's order. Because of that alignment, you know, because the soul is aligning with the super soul, there is an immediate production of happiness. Ayatma suprasidati, immediately. Therefore, virtuous activities produce happiness, sinful activities produce misery. One can see that. So, now for the first time, Yudhishthira Maharaj is watching in his kingdom that religion is rearing its ugly head. He saw religion in various ways, beginning with the few verses which we read, Jihma Prayam, Javakritam, Shatya Karmam Cha Saukritam. Even amongst the relatives and friends, there were misunderstandings. People were raising their tone to their elders, and there were quarrels, and he saw the businessmen are becoming corrupt with black market. He saw that. And then in this way, there are many more symptoms which are going to be explained the bad omens that he saw. And then Yudhishthira Maharaj realized something is wrong somewhere. You know, such bad omens cannot be appearing without any reason. There has to be some reason. So therefore he called Bhima. That 7 months Arjuna went to Dwaraka and he has not come back. Is it that Krishna has ascended to his own abode, which Narada predicted just now? So that question already he asked to Bhima. And when he was talking to Bhima like this, and Arjuna is arriving at that time. So, yeah, see in the eighth verse, Chakravarti Thakur has given a beautiful explanation to the eighth verse. Yeah, see what he says, Chakravarti Thakur, here for the eighth verse. Has the time indicated by Narada arrived when the Lord desires to give up his form engaged in pastimes? So Yudhishthira speaks in this manner about Krishna's departure to express lamentation for a friend and not to express the real truth. However, Saraswati speaks through his mouth, giving another meaning to his words. What is the meaning he says? He desires to establish, see the in that word, utsish krishati, the word is there, no? Utsi srikshati. See the last word. Utsi srikshati. So, utsi srikshati, that word is explained by Chakravarti Thakur. He says that to establish means sisrikshati. Sisriksha means to establish. His expansion form, atmanah angam, that word is also there. See, second line. Yad atmano angam is there, no? He wants to establish his own form. Which form? That is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. Which is one form of the Lord. Of Narayana. Where? Above. Ut means above. In Vaikuntha. What type of form has Narayana? It is somewhat expressive of his pastimes. Kridam. That means, see the Akridam word is used. Now I will tell you the meaning of this second line. Yadatmano angam akridam bhagavan utsrikshati. What is the meaning of this? When Krishna comes in this world, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Kshiradakshaya Vishnu, Mahavishnu, they all assume a back seat and Krishna assumes the front seat. Because all the living entities consider Krishna as everything. Just like, for example, in a particular temple, say some local leader is prominent. But when sannyasi or guru, GBC comes, then local leader goes to background. Correct, no? Like you go to some management, a manager of a preaching center, you go. He is like all in all there. Everybody is running around him, running along with him. But when a more senior man, president, somebody goes to a particular center, then that person goes to the background. Similarly, when Krishna comes in this world, immediately Kshirodakshinu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, Mahavishnu, all of them, they assume a little lesser importance. Which means many things are directly decided by Krishna and done by Krishna also. For example, Sudharma assembly from the heavenly planets was brought down by Yadus. Not by their own strength, but by Krishna's strength. Krishna gave them empowerment and they brought it down and they made it the Sudharma assembly in Dwaraka. They made. Similarly, Krishna went to heavenly planets with Satyabhama and brought Parijata tree. Correct, no? Because you will see that just like when the Shyamandaka jewel, pastime it is said, the best things should be given to the king. So therefore, the Shyamandaka jewel was supposed to be given to Krishna, which Satrajit didn't give, due to which he was later on murdered by Shatadhanva and other people. Correct, no? Like that. So, when Krishna comes, the best thing, Sudharma assembly is best in heaven, so that is brought as a parliament for Krishna in Dwaraka. Similarly, Parijata is best in heaven, so that is brought here, like that you will see. And in this way, when But then when Krishna is now returning, he reinstates the three deities. Which are they? The Kshuradaksha Vishnu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu and Mahavishnu, all of them. So they play their roles and Krishna goes to the background. He goes back to spiritual world. So that is called the Ut Sisrikshati. Sisrikshati, Ut means in the topmost portion, which is called Shvetadvipa. Correct, no? And who is that personality? Atmano Angam. He is Krishna's expansion only, he says. And what does he do? Akridam. Why the word Akridam is used? There is a very specific reason. All the main Leela avataras come through Kshirodaksha Vishnu only. Correct? No? Matsya, Kurma, Varaha, Narsingha. They all come through him. So Akridam is used for him. So like that he explains. Such a wonderful meaning. So now coming to the ninth verse. Read the translation.
Hare Krishna. From him only.
From him only means from whom? Krishna only. So from Krishna only, yeah.
From him only, all our kingly opulence, good wives, lives, progeny, control over our subjects, victory over our enemies, and future accommodations in higher planets have become possible. All this is due to his causeless mercy upon us.
See how Yudhishthira Maharaj is conscious of the gifts that he is receiving by becoming Krishna's devotee. He is telling, what all we have received from Krishna? The kingly opulence of this world. Because Krishna told us to fight the battle. We fought the battle and we won the battle. So the rule of the whole world is given to Yudhishthira Maharaj. So he is remembering that the opulence I am enjoying is not my own. It is awarded to me by Krishna. Like that, every post holder should remember, in whatever service you may do, you are a HOD, you are a voice in charge, whatever in charge, you know that this opulence is given to me to be used in Krishna's service. So kingly opulence. And good wives, Kulavati wives, which means chaste wife, submissive wife, cooperative wife, faithful wife, clean, and in all. Actually, for a woman, there are some bad qualities which are said in a woman, which a woman should give up. For example, when a woman is lazy, when she is unclean, when she is unchaste, when she keeps the clothes and home and family unclean due to her laziness, or when she is irreligious, when she is materialistic, then such an uncooperative woman making demands. So these are considered bad qualities of a woman. So good wives, Kulavati Nari means she is like a Griha Lakshmi, opposite of what I told you. She is very quick. She sleeps after the husband and gets up before the husband. When husband gets in the morning, she is already taken bath and, you know, sometimes you see Indian women, they wash their hair and they put a cloth around their head. So, and she is already in the kitchen, busy. And she cleanses the puja room and she bows down to the Lord deity at home, and then she begins her day, and she spreads happiness to all the members of the family, like the mother-in-law, father-in-law, husband, children, and everybody. And she is chaste in her character, and pure in her habits, and she cannot tolerate uncleanliness. She keeps everything spick and span, clean, always keeps throwing water here, there, sweeping and cleaning and keeping everything clean at home. She cannot tolerate anything unorderly anywhere. This is a Kulavati Nari, correct? Good wife. And also she spreads happiness to everybody. She knows exactly what to speak to sister-in-law, what to speak to brother-in-law, what to speak to father-in-law, mother-in-law, and what to speak to husband. And to deal with whom, how, that she knows. So in this way, good wives and good lives, good progeny. Progeny means children. Children and grandchildren. If they become gunavan. Like Chanakya says, you know, one should have a son who is knowledgeable, who is intelligent, and who is submissive and obedient, and who is willing to serve. So then one is very happy. Otherwise, if one gets a fool as a son, it's better not to have a son, like that he says. So one has to get good progeny. Like Anga Maharaj got such a dangerous progeny, he ran away in the midst of the night, correct, no? he took renounced daughter and he went away. So he says that we got good progeny. Who is the progeny of Yushtha Maharaj's family? Pandavas. Parikshit Maharaj is the only last progeny left. And then he heard from the Brahmanas about the glory of Parikshit, correct? So he became very happy. Such a wonderful grandchild we got. And he is going to rule the world and take this. So you will find, whether it is a material family or a spiritual family, you know, it is like an Olympic torch, you know. Like, you know, in Olympic torch people carry and run to some distance. And then they hand over to next person. And then he takes and runs for some distance. And then he hands over to another person. Similarly, Parampara, Bhaktivinoda Thakur hand over the torch to Bhaktisansarada Thakur. And Bhaktisansarada Thakur hand over the torch to a very powerful personality, to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada started his con. And he handed over the torch to many of his disciples. So in this way, the torch light of Krishna conscious wisdom is coming down in the Parampara. And it has to be handed over. Parampara should not get blocked or stopped due to somebody stuck in Maya. You see, one has to spread it and take it ahead further. So good progeny. Similarly, in material family also, what is the worry of any father, any especially big business people, to get a good son who will take up the business, and then grandson. So generally they look for, of course, if they get a girl also they are happy, but one problem with the girl is she will get married and go to another family. Correct, no? She won't be with the parents. So the parents are worried about expanding. So in material family also they are looking for good progeny. Correct, no? Similarly, in spiritual line also we need a good progeny. Good progeny means through our preaching we have to produce progeny. This is called a spiritual prajapati. Like we have material prajapati, we have spiritual prajapati. Means through preaching we expand the family, spiritual family. And in that try to get good progeny so that we don't want people who will come stay for a short while and run away. Again back to Maya. I was in Maya, I came into Krishna consciousness, I went back to Maya. We don't want that. We want people who will take this mission ahead. So good progeny. And then control over subjects. Actually, control. Why he is talking about control over subjects? The subjects in general want sense gratification. Anywhere you go. That's the nature of the world. And when you tell them no to sense gratification, they will do mischief. They will do cheating. They will find alternative ways to somehow or other do sense gratification. So the king should have laws in order that, like in those days, if a man would steal some property, his hand would be cut off. So that if he's wandering with a cut off hand, everybody will see him and nobody will want to steal it. If a man touches another woman who is another man's wife, his hand would be cut off immediately. So people would be afraid to touch any other man's wife. Because people know that from where will the talwar come and cut, they don't know. But hand will be cut off. People know for sure. No one is around, you touch another woman, cut immediately. So law and order was in place. Therefore, like it is said, there are two things, Shastra and Shastra. Intelligent people study Shastra and live by the principles of Shastra. So they don't need to be controlled at all. Those who don't follow Shastra but adopt mischievous practices of sinful activities, breaking regulative principles, they have to be controlled by Shastra. If any leader says, you know, no, we cannot use any Shastra at all, you know, we cannot have any type of control, we have to only use Shastra, and if people don't follow Shastra, it is their own problem. Then you can never build a community. And you can never make any stable devotees. Everybody will come, dance for some time and push off. You will never have any stable people in Krishna consciousness. Or if somebody is stable, they will be stable for a material purpose. Because it is a material community where they get very nice emotional support, they get physical facilities, food, clothing, shelter, everything is there. Why will they leave and go? They will stay very nicely, comfortably, materially, without any spiritual progress. That kind of staying is very easy in this world. Why only you and me, even Christians, are doing that? There are millions of Indians ready to get converted to become Christians only for material comfort, that's all. They are ready to provide the material comfort. So if you provide material comforts, you provide food, clothing, shelter, hospital, school. Everybody will come and nicely stay comfortably. And you can say that we have how many followers? Millions of followers, you can say that. We are not actually expanding Krishna consciousness. We are expanding a material community that way. But the spiritual community is only possible when there is law and order, where everybody follows the Krishna conscious principles. You understand what I'm saying? It's a very important point. So, and then when you establish a spiritual community, everybody will run away. Who will stay? Only one who wants spirituality will stay. Other fellows will run away. And also when you want to keep spirituality, like he says, control over the subjects means what? A king has to tell the people, you cannot break the four regulative principles. You cannot steal another man's wife. You cannot touch another man's, you cannot steal another man's wealth. And you, actually I'll show you one purport. Prabhupada says, on Ekadashi day, if people don't fast from grains, there was a punishment in those days. In the ancient kings, they spent spies around. Who is eating grains on Ekadashi day? Catch them. Correct, no? So this is control over the subjects. Of course, now, especially in the age of Kali Yuga, nobody can do such control. It is the age of freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of action. Such a degree that even in the name of spirituality, a lot of nonsense is going on all around the world. So the king had control of subjects means what? The kings gave profuse facility for food, clothing, shelter for the citizens. So the three duties of a king I told you, PAW, you can remember, protection, administration, welfare. In that, protection from the thieves and rogues, and protection from men who are loose with women. So women were given protection from the loose men, and general people were given protection from the thieves and rogues, isn't it? So this is protection. And similarly, other men in the society were given protection from loose women also. So in this way, people's religious protection was given to them also. And the five people are protected, you know, children and the cows and the women and old people and brahmanas, they were all protected. And the welfare means all the welfare was provided, you know. The king made sure that food, clothing, shelter, drinking water, food and sanitation conditions and the trees and everything, living place, everything. But then the middle one, A, stands for administration. That's where the control over the subjects comes. When protection is offered, welfare is offered, then there is a need of control also. Now somebody may say, why if there is no control of the king, what is the problem? That was told by Samik Rishi in the 19th chapter we will read. He says, when the king, Parikshit Maharaj, dies, after the 7 days are over, he said, then all the general mass of people who are like lambs, they will be attacked by thieves and rogues who will be like tigers. But when these lambs are protected by a shepherd, the tiger cannot attack them. Like that is it. So the king is like a chivalrous attacker of the tiger, like Kali. Kali is compared to tiger. So when an animal like tiger or lion attacks the lamb, imagine if the shepherd has a gun or some weapon, the tiger or lion will run away. Correct, no? And the sheep have to be protected. So he says that you are actually cursing the king to die in 7 days, but when he dies, all the general populace will go out of control. So two types of out of control he spoke about. One is thieves and rogues will flourish. Like you all know this New Orleans which happened in America. When there was a blackout, you know, there was a storm, cyclone and everything. So at that time, you know, many public was looted by the thieves and rogues because systems were all out of control. The government could not, you know, manage for a short while, 3-4 days. A lot of looty happened that time. There you will find. So this is one type of out of control that happens. Another type of out of control is when the general masses don't have a king, then they will tend to be irreligious. Because what is the easy route? Irreligious route is easy, or religious route is easy? Irreligious. That's a shortcut that they will take. So control of the subjects means both. Don't allow the rogues and thieves and everybody. And also make sure everybody is religious also. And then victory over our enemies, like Duryodhana, Dushasana, Shakuni, they are all trying to become inimical not only to Yudhishthir but also to the whole world, because they were unreasonable enemies. They wanted to establish religion as the topmost thing. Such enemies, to root out such enemies, Krishna has blessed us. And future accommodations in higher planets, either heavenly planets or spiritual world. All this has become possible only due to Krishna's causeless mercy upon us. And then Prabhupada is writing in the purport, if you see, material prosperity, what is it? Prabhupada says, good wife, good home, sufficient land, good children, aristocratic family relation, victory over competitors, pious work, attainment of heaven and all that. These facilities are earned not only by one's hard manual labor or by cheating, but these are all earned by mercy of the Supreme Lord. What happened? Is coming sound? It looks like speaking in a well, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. I think it will come, I think. How will you do kirtan? 2 minutes? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. One Maha Mantra, please. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So, he's saying these are all facilities are earned not by our endeavor, but and also not by our cheating. Somebody may endeavor in a very proper way, fair way. Somebody may adopt an unfair way also to earn all these things. But Prabhupada says, no, but only by the mercy of the Supreme Lord. Prosperity earned by one's personal endeavor also depends on the mercy of the Lord. That means our endeavor and Lord's grace. Personal labor must be there in addition to Lord's benediction. But without the Lord's benediction, no one is successful simply by personal labor. The modernized man of Kali Yuga believes in personal endeavor and denies the benediction of Supreme Lord. Even a great sannyasi of India delivered speeches in Chicago protesting the benedictions of the Supreme Lord. Chicago also is mentioning. That's the most amazing thing. Actually, Prabhupada wants people to know who that fellow is. He doesn't want to leave them without full knowledge. Isn't it? So, because that's a well-known speech which he spoke. So, he was telling that, you know, we have to work hard, awake, arise. That kind of lecture he gave. And he did not take into account Lord's benedictions. Whereas, Krishna consciousness movement is all about declaring our dependence on Krishna. Well, there is one lecture of Prabhupada. Becoming independent by declaring our dependence on Krishna. That is one lecture. If you want independence, that's only possible by declaring our dependence on the Lord. Like a child can be very independent and free from all fear when he is catching the hand of the father. You see? Then he has no fear in the world. He can take a plane and fly anywhere. He can go to supermarket and purchase anything he wants. Although he has no single penny in his pocket. He can purchase so many things, he can fly to so many places. Everything becomes possible as long as he is in Father's hands, you see. So, our ability to enjoy life, our ability to be free from all anxiety, depends on how firmly we are holding on to Lord's hands. Correct, no? So, that is actually the main theme here. Maharaj, just to admit fail to cure a patient. Despite advanced treatment of a suffering patient, still there is death, even for the richest people die, like the Prabhupada is saying. So God's sanction is the immediate cause of all happenings, good or bad. So this is a very important thing, that our endeavor and Lord's grace, both have to be combined. Like a doctor should ideally say, we treat, God heals. Healing is not possible by us. We can only treat. Like I went to meet one small kid, one Raghav, who was admitted in the hospital. So the parents had called me to see because he had got some dengue fever, you know. So the doctors said they lost hope completely at that time. Because the boy was in ventilator. He was in ICU, in ventilator. So parents said, Prabhuji, you know, we don't know whether the child will survive or not. At least you come and chant, you sing some Mahamantra. So I had gone to see. So then I called the doctor and asked, what is the situation? Doctor said, I asked him, what medicines have you given? He said, medicine, there is no medicine we have given. The child has to develop his own immunity in the body. We are only providing climate and conditions favorable for the immunity to increase. But no medicine will work for this dengue, he said. It is a fatal dengue. He may or may not survive. So this is not the only disease. There are many diseases like this, which cannot be cured by any medicine. And the doctors create an atmosphere to gradually, you know, allow the thing to... like sometimes you get an ulcer here, you have seen that? Or in the tongue you get. And it is very difficult for it to cure. You know why? Because it's repeatedly used portion of the body, correct, no? It's repeatedly, it's wetting, you know? You keep it. So, you will find it takes a little longer time. Whenever Krishna wills, it will get cured. Correct, no? So, there are diseases like that. Therefore, Prabhupada is saying here, medical practitioners should not be proud that we have saved a dying patient. Only a fool will say like that. Correct, no? Our Parampuja Radha Govind Maharaj was telling, somewhere in Bihar or somewhere, he was telling one doctor used to be a very proud doctor. And he used to claim that I have saved so many lives. So he saw some Hare Krishna devotees going to a hospital and then he asked them, Are aap Hare Krishna walon ko bhi hamare paas aana padta hai? Like that he joked with the devotees. And devotees were very humble and simple. They said, yes, yes. You know, our patient was, one devotee became sick. You know, we also take medicine and everything so that we can do our services nicely. And then the devotee said, and the man said, aapke Bhagawan kyun aapko madad nahin karte aapko? Hamare paas aana padta aapko. Like that he was laughing. So then the devotee didn't become proud or angry. The devotee said, Bhagawan madad karte hai na? Bhagawan ki ichcha se hi inka tik ho gaya. By Lord's wish, this fellow has become all right. And doctor became angry. By Lord's wish, I treated him, I cured him, he said. And the devotee smiled and said, see, sir, don't say you saved him. You treated him, but you didn't save him. God saved him. But this doctor was insistent. The doctor became very upset again and again, trying to prove I am the savior of this patient. Then the devotee smartly threw another argument. He said, "Aapke hospital mein kuch log bhi marte bhi honge." And the doctor, "Kabhi kabhi ekad baar mar jata hai koi." Then immediately the devotee asked him, "Aap logon ko kyon marte?" Then the doctor said, "Marte? Hum thodi marte unko." हम मारना नहीं चाहते वो अपने तकदीर में जो लिखा है मर जाता है हम क्या करें सो देन दिस डिवोटी काट हिम ही सेड अगर लोग मर जाते हैं तो तकदीर में लिखा है अगर बचाते हो तो आप बचाते हो ये क्या लॉजिक है ही आस्क्ड हिम लाइक दैट सो ही काट हिम थॉरली एट दिस पॉइंट सो दिस एग्जाम्पल आई लाइक्ड सो मच व्हेन एवर आई मीट अ डॉक्टर आई कोट दिस एंड द डॉक्टर्स ऑल्सो एंजॉय दिस एग्जाम्पल Because this thoroughly proves that the doctor is not the savior. Krishna is the savior. And in the same manner, we are also spiritual doctors. Correct, no? We are? Like, you know, one devotee was preaching and he brought another devotee to Krishna consciousness. And this devotee was this leader devotee, who was a counselor, he was very pushy. And he was trying to dominate that counselee. And the counselee came and wrote a letter saying that I want to change the counselor to another counselor so that I will get a nice training and everything. This counselor is lording over me or something like that. So I called that counselor and said, Prabhu, you know, he wants to change. Aapke paas aa gaya seedha? And he wants to change. Call him in front of me. So he brought him to me. And then in front of me and him, he said, हमने इसको भक्ति में कड़ा किया है ऐसे कैसे दूसरे के पास जा सकता है You know, I brought him to Krishna consciousness. Then I told that other younger devotee to go away. I told him, you come little later. Now we both will talk first. After that, after that devotee went away, then I told this devotee this example, same example. Doctor example I told him. Then he clapped his hands and laughed. Badiya bol diya Prabhuji. Wo bevakuf doctor soch raha tha ki wo khud bacha raha hai, Bhagwan bacha raha hai. Then I told this devotee, see, abhi batao, ye counseling ko Bhagwan ne bachaya, aapne bachaya. Thoda sochna padega Prabhuji. Kyon sochna padega, turant bol do. Lord is saving everybody. You are only a nimitta, correct, no? So, therefore, you should not take ownership of delivering the conditioned souls. As such, there are many, many people helping in delivering. There are younger devotees, equal devotees, senior devotees, then Diksha Gurus are there, Prabhupada is there, whole Guru Parampara is there. Everybody is jointly delivering a candidate. And our role is probably 0.1 or 0.2 or something like that. One shouldn't become too proud of, you know, delivering somebody. Therefore, here he is telling that everything happens by our little endeavor and mostly by Krishna's grace. So one should know, one should feel grateful to the Lord for all he has achieved. So this is the point about mental prosperity, second point. And the same is, you know, see in the next para also, next 10th purport also if you see. Of course now, Yudhishthira is telling Bhima, how many miseries due to celestial influences, earthly reactions and bodily pains, all very dangerous or foreboding danger in the very near future by deluding our intelligence. Now he is going to tell about the bad omens. Prabhupada writes in the middle of the purport, by the celestial influence of the stars, there are many calamities like heat, cold rains, snow rains, ativrishti, anavrishti and all that, epidemic, disease, famine and all that. The aggregate result is agony of the body and mind. Man-made material science cannot do anything to counteract these threefold miseries. They are all punishments from the superior energy of Maya under the direction of Supreme Lord. Therefore, our constant touch with the Lord by devotional service can give us relief without our being disturbed by in our discharge of human duties. See, this is a very deep point. You know, I was hearing in that Gajendra Moksha, again Parampuja Radha Govind Maharaj was telling, इंसान बड़ा साइंटिस्ट बन जाता है लेकिन क्या कर सकता है वो. आज हवा इस दिशा में बह रहा है, कल उस दिशा में बहेगा हवा, कौन रोक सकता है उसको. यू आर सेलिंग, यू नो, आज सुनामी आता है कल हवा बहेगा. दीज थिंग्स आर नॉट इन आवर कंट्रोल. सो ही स्पोक विथ वेरी डीप रियलाइजेशन. इट अपियर्ड एक्चुअली मैन हैज प्रैक्टिकली नो पावर टू डू एनीथिंग. वी कैन, ही हैज वेरी लिटिल पावर बीइंग अ टाइनी जीव. Here Prabhupada makes an interesting point that for our peaceful execution of our Krishna conscious duties, we need Krishna's grace. Why he is saying? Because imagine if you are physically unhealthy, can you do your chanting nicely? If you are sick, is it possible? So, oh Krishna, please give me good health so that I can chant very well, correct? Now imagine if your relatives, somebody is deadly, a disease they are undergoing and they will die today or tomorrow. Now, will you be able to do your practice of Krishna consciousness? So there is some tension. So he is saying that adi atmika, adi bhautika, adi devika, all these kleshas in the nature and in our body and mind and other living entities, these things become a source of anxiety for us. And they don't let us do our religious duties also peacefully. Therefore, when ideal king is ruling, when all these miseries are offset, that paves way for us to do religious duties peacefully. I am making our way back to Godhead. You understand this point? Because the material miseries will also impede our spiritual execution of duties. Therefore, we need ideal leadership where our material miseries are kept away. To such a degree. See, we don't want material miseries away to lead a materially comfortable life. That we don't want. Why? Because material comfortable life will make us complacent, cozy and crazy, isn't it? But we want material miseries to be offset to such a degree that our spiritual practices will not be thwarted. That point is explained. And that is only possible by Krishna's grace. So what we have to do, like we are reciting Bhagavatam now. So hearing this Bhagavatam, the Lord in our hearts will become very pleased because we are doing our spiritual duties. Similarly, we are putting up a very wonderful morning program beginning from 4:30 to 9:30 every day. And we very ceremoniously, faithfully, dutifully come, everybody collectively come. So for such a community of devotees who render their services and duties to the Lord very faithfully, sincerely, to the best of their ability, their material miseries will be offset to a degree where their spiritual life will be alive and active. That is the point. Like His Holiness Jayadutt Maharaj was telling, that in case Krishna offsets the material miseries for his devotees and devotee becomes complacent or proud, then what will Krishna do? He will let the people be overtaken by miseries so that they will wake up and then they will again perform their spiritual duties. We have a tendency to become slack when everything is in order, correct? No? So therefore, sometimes Lord Vishnu, who is lying in the Anantashesha with semi-closed eyes, looks like he is sleeping. He is not sleeping. He is wide awake. When he sees that the demigods are becoming very complacent, he increases the Rajaguna in the universe, empowering the asuras to become more mightier than devatas. But he does not do it directly. Do you know how he does it? Through the agency of Kala. Kal. And one of the aspects of Kala is Kali Yuga. Therefore, when Satya, Treta, Dwapara, Kali, when living entities become more mischievous and they become impious, they want to lord over the material world and enjoy separately. What Lord does? He, through the Kala agency, he increases the Asuric Gunas, and that brings forth sufferings to living beings. And when sufferings come in lives of devotees, they scream, but they don't just scream, they scream the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this way, in the 11th canto, there is one verse which says, in the Kali Yuga, you know, create such a terrible situation, all living entities are screaming at the top of their lungs. So devotees also are subject to varieties of sufferings. Devotees cannot deny. Long distance, they have to travel, they have to tolerate the pollution. They cannot get good vegetables in the market. So much of biomedical people have ruined the good vegetables and fertilizer and everything. So there is no good food, there is no good air, there is no pure water, and long distance travels. Even for devotees to come together and congregate and chant and dance, there are so many obstructions in the modern times, you can see. But all these obstructions are put in the age of Kali Yuga so that living entities can take to Krishna consciousness seriously and go back to Godhead. So, but Prabhupada says, for the devotees, even in Kali Yuga, the miseries of Kali Yuga are reasonably reduced for us. If you carefully observe, simply by taking to good habits, good culture, and following the four regulative principles, keeping clean, these four principles, you remember the match formula, mercy, austerity, truthfulness, cleanliness, holy name. So when you follow these four principles, then one can lead a peaceful life, peaceful enough for spiritual practice. Maybe little problem here, little problem there, somebody a little back problem. Ye bhi chala jayega na Prabhuji, aur accha rahega. Aur accha nahi rahega, tum bhul jaoge Bhagwan ko. Isliye rakha hai, thoda back pain. So that, you know, some back pain or head pain or leg pain or something, Krishna keeps something so that we remember that this material body has to be given up. You see? So, this is 9th-11. And then, directly I have written 21. But all these verses, now you can see the Subodhani guide. You all have Subodhani guide? The Subodhani guide you will find, just given, all the bad omen are given there. If you see, 11 to 20. What is this page number? It is 106, if you see. So Chakravarti Thakur has given some short commentary to each of this. In verse number 12, he says that when a jackal is facing the rising sun and howling, vomiting fire from his mouth, or a fearless dog is also howling. Such kinds of these are considered apashakun. Sometimes you have seen a dog like that making sound. You heard that? It's a normal dog. It's very normal, you can hear. But when they are howling in a certain way, sometimes people say that the yamadutas are coming to take somebody. Correct, no? Their howling is like crying. You have seen that? It's an inauspicious one. We cannot see the yamadutas. They can see. In fact, we cannot catch a thief also. Dogs can catch. Correct, no? They sniff and find out a thief. Because in a thief's body, there is some vibration which they sniff and find out. And they catch also. Similarly, they can find out. So the dogs are giving some bad omen. And then the auspicious animals like cow, one can hear the mooing of the cow, smiling of the cow, and the udders of the cow filled with milk. That is auspicious sign. Whereas the auspicious animals like cow, when they are going on the left side, inauspicious animals like donkey, they are going clockwise. Which means, imagine if a cow is going anti-clockwise and a donkey is going clockwise around you. That means it's a what omen? Bad omen. And then the owl, who is enemy to the crow, is also pratyulukaha, which is making the mind tremble. He is saying, they are also making harsh cries. Now, the pigeon, a messenger of death, the owl, he is saying, Chakravarti Thakur is saying, it's another type of owl, he is saying, it's not pigeon, he is saying. He is used about pigeon also, but he is saying, Pratyulukaha is a type of owl, which is an enemy to the other owl, or a crow, like that he is saying. So crow is also called as owl, so this is actually owl only, he is saying. And then he is saying, the sky is having a thunder. Dar-dar-dar-dar, sound is coming, but no water is pouring. See, generally when you hear the thunder, you look up in the sky, but the sky is very clear. There are no clouds, there is no water. And the wind is blowing like a whirlwind and creating intense tamaha, darkness. And the clouds, they don't see rain water, they seem to be pouring down blood. Asrik. And the sun is very weak. Manda Surya. When Prabhupada went to London, he looked up in the sky. There was hardly any sunlight. London is in a area where there is no sunlight. Prabhupada said, London is hell, he said. Without the sunlight, the place is like hell. Digesting the prasad in your belly is difficult without the sun. And also body also requires heat of the sun. Correct, no? And the sunlight falling on our body cures many diseases. It also strengthens the bones also. In case you have a bone deficiency, they will tell you that you should take sunlight half an hour to 1 hour every day. Before 9 o'clock, after 5 o'clock in the evening, that sunlight. So, in this way, sun was with a weak light, which means that is also inauspiciousness. And when you pour ghee in the fire doesn't burn. That means ghee is dalda. Isn't it? And it is said, the calves don't drink milk, it is said. That means the cows don't give milk. See, how can calves drink if cows don't give? Maybe cows may be going and pulling the udder of the cow and nothing is coming out, so they never try also now. And their bodies have become very skinny, like this. And deities seem to be weeping, perspiring and moving about anxiously, like that he is saying. And in the populated areas like villages, towns, gardens, hermitages, they are all devoid of splinter and dust. He is saying, the earth is devoid of the lotus feet of the Lord, whose marks like thunderbolt, elephant, goad, that do not exist in other persons. Ananya Purusha Shribihi. Like that he is saying. This other men, if you look at the soles of their feet, you will not find these symbols. Only in Krishna's lotus feet you will find. And this lotus feet footprints, when Krishna would put, each of them would create that particular aspect. For example, if there is an elephant goad in Krishna's lotus feet, you know, whichever land is experiencing the footprints of Krishna, in that land everybody's sinful reactions will be destroyed like the thunderbolt, shattering a mountain into powder, like that. If there is an elephant goad, everybody's minds will become controlled like the ankush is used for controlling the elephant, like that. So the wherever Krishna's footprints are there in that place, it not only affects the bhumi, it affects all the people living on that land also. Amazing, no? Therefore, in Vrindavan, everybody feels very joyful when Krishna is present. Jayati te dikam namana vraja. Boliye. Jayati te dikam namana vraja. Shrayata indira. Shashwadatrahi Dayita Drishyata Dikshuta Vaka Vaidrita Savas Tvam Vichinvate Hare Krishna Hare Krishna saying that Krishna, because you have born in the land of Vrindavan, jayatite adhikam, already the land of Vrindavan is dhanya, punya, but by your lotus footprints falling on the feet of Vrindavan, it has become even more fortunate. And seeing you appear in this land, Lakshmi Devi has come here, and she has come here for almost time, 1 week or 2 weeks. Shashwadatrahi, for permanently living in this land, she has come. Because wherever your lotus footprints are there, there will be Lakshmi also immediately there. And she is coming and putting her glands everywhere and spreading the samriddhi of Vrindavan even more. So three stages of samriddhi. First is, Vrindavan is already having samriddhi because Lord has already decided to descend there. And then when Lord puts his lotus footprints, samriddhi increases. When Lakshmi comes and puts her glands everywhere, it increases even more. Like that. They are saying like that. Therefore, here it is said that he is saying that now the land is not Anya Purusha Shribir. Hina Bhur Hata Saubhaga is telling. Anya Purusha Shribir. None of the other men have got such symbols as your lotus feet have many symbols. Therefore, Bhumi became Hata Saubhaga without any good fortune because your lotus footprints have left the Bhumi and gone back to spiritual abode. And we'll continue when we come back after Prasad. 10:45 when you come back, all right? Srila Prabhupada ki. So we come to chapter 14. C. See, this 14th chapter has only 6 items. Let us see how much time it takes. Only 6 themes only. Krishna Valinga will finish it fast. So this chapter is talking about disappearance of Lord Krishna, returning to his abode. Verse number 1, Sutta Goswami is telling, Arjuna went to Dwaraka to see Lord Sri Krishna and other friends, and also to learn from the Lord of his next activities. One activity was the Mahabharata war. That was over. Then the next activity was enthroning of Yudhishthira Maharaj as the king of the world and assisted by the Pandava brothers. That is also over now. And then the third activity was Dhritarashtra quitting home by the inspiration of Vidura and going to forest, and you know, they eventually leave the body. And Gandhari and Dhritarashtra. Now what next? What are we supposed to do? Because Arjuna went to meet Krishna. What are we supposed to do? So which clearly shows that the Pandavas, especially Sri Arjuna, Prabhupada says, were eternal companions of the Lord. And therefore Arjuna went to Dwaraka to hear from the Lord of his next program of work. And then see, from the 2 to 5, it says, a few months passed and Arjuna did not return. Maharaj Yudhishthir then began to observe some inauspicious omens which were fearful in themselves. So in that purport, middle, Prabhupada says, therefore during the personal presence of the Lord on earth, all paraphernalia for our peace and prosperity, especially religion and knowledge, were in full display because of the Lord's presence, just as there is full flood of light in the presence of the glowing sun. Which means, when Krishna is present, religion and knowledge are present fully. Which means everywhere you turn around, there are Brahmanas who are chanting the Vedic mantras. And Brahmanas giving Sadupadesh. And all the Varnashrama in action, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Of course, there were Asuri kings whom Krishna vanquished in the battle. And then when Dharma Samsthapana was done, everything was in order, actually. But suddenly now, in such a beautiful world, seems to be some bad omens. So you will find we can make a one-to-one comparison about when Krishna was in the planet, how did the world look like? And when Krishna left this world, how did this world look like? Because Kali entered. Correct, no? So in this chapter, we can make such a comparison. For example, when Krishna was in the planet, you all know Kunti Maharani said 3 verses, 37, after that, 38, 40, 39, 40, isn't it? In those 3 verses, what she said, Ime janapada asvriddha supakvaushadi virudaha vanadrinadi udanvanto hetante tava vikshitai. What she said? She said, everywhere there is greenery, there are beautiful blooming flowers, trees are laden with fruits, mountains are filled with minerals like gold, silver and diamond and all that. Oceans are full of navaratnas. Like that she said. Everywhere the nature is like blossomed. You know, what is that song? Takan Krishna Leela Heri Prakriti Sundari Vistari Chesho Bhavane. You will repeat. Takan Krishna Leela Heri Prakriti Sundari Vistari Chesho Bhavane.
हमें घरे ना जाइबो वने प्रवेशिबो होले लारसे रतारे हमें घरे ना जाइबो वने प्रवेशिबो होले रतारे.
See what he is saying in this song. This is
हमें यमुना पुरी ने कदंब कानने keherinu sakhiya ame yamuna pulne kadamba kanane herinu sakhiya amar shama vamshi dhari mani vancha pori leela koile rasara Manivancha pore leela koile rasara.
Like that it goes on. See, one particular line I was quoting was, Thakon Krishna leela heri prakriti sundari. Seeing Krishna leela, prakriti became very vistariche shobhavane. She expanded her beauty. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has explained, this prakriti's beauty is expanded by Srimati Radharani only, he says. Because Radharani is the original Prakriti, Swarup Shakti. So when she sees that Krishna is singing, dancing, playing on his flute, she increases the beauty of the Vanashobha. Vanashobha means the beauty of the forest. So how many of you know some symptoms when Krishna appeared in this world? What special symptoms showed up which were not ordinarily seen? Like for example, it was Krishna Janmashtami. So was it a crescent moon in the sky? It was full moon. What else is explained like that? Auspicious stars constellation came together, correct? And then? What else? The wind was blowing very mildly, giving everyone a nice experience. The peacocks were dancing. The cuckoos were cooing, isn't it? And also there was drizzling in the sky. Very wonderful experience for everybody. And there were lotuses and lilies in the ponds. There were ducks and swans and karandavas. That's explained in the Krishna's appearance, appearance of Lord Krishna, that chapter. Everything, and all people were very happy also. Husband, wives were cooperative and happy. And children were cooperating with the parents also. Everything was wonderful. And Prakriti was very flourishing, very wonderfully. And also there is another verse, like Kuntimani is saying here, Kamam Vavarsha Parjanyaha Sarva Kama Dugha Mahi Shishichusma Vrajan Gavaha Shishichusma Vrajan Gavaha Payaso Dasvatir Muda. It is said when Krishna was present in the planet, when Yudhishthira Maharaj was ruling, the cows were smiling here and there, and their udders were full of milk. So much so that when cows would run, even in Vrindavan it is said, when Krishna would play on his flute in the forest, far away cows who went to graze. In the evening when Krishna would play the flute and call, the cows would become worried that Krishna is calling our name, and if we don't go now, he will be in anxiety searching for us. So they would come running. And when they would come running, the udder of the cow would move like this. Both sides they would run. And when it moves because of heavy milk bags, they would move hither and thither. At that time the milk would pour out. And there will be a milk kitchen formed. So that was the prosperity of the Lord's times, it is said. So much of milk. Now people are trying to squeeze out milk with machines, including the blood also they are sucking now. Sucking machines, isn't it? Whereas the cows had so much of milk when Krishna is present, you see. So this is the meaning of Shishichusma Vrajan Gabha Paiso Udasvatirmita. And the cows were all smiling happily. So this is the presence of Krishna bringing happiness to one and all. And the rains were all pouring in time, it is said. 3 months in a year, heavy rains, supplying water for the whole year. That was also happening, it is said. So now I have told you about the... And also Krishna's glowing footprints were seen by Kunti, correct, no? What is it was? No, image anapada already I told you, that is about the nature. And this one is Kevayam, after Kevayam Namarupabhyam, Yadubhi Saha Pandava, Rishikanam Ibeshitu, what is the next verse? Neyam so Vishyate Tatra Yate Danim Gadadhara Swapadairankita bhati swalakshana vilakshitaihi. That's a verse. Swapadairankita bhati. Oh Krishna, your glowing lotus print, footprints are seen everywhere, marked with all the auspicious symbols like the thunderbolt or the elephant goad or like the lotus or like the umbrella. Because wherever those marks are there, all auspiciousness comes to the people. Because of footprints of Krishna are present, she is saying. But now that Krishna has left to his abode, there are no more footprints. Krishna's footprints are not there. Krishna's glance is not there on the nature. And Krishna has left. Now what happens? What are the bad omens? They are explained. In the subsequent verses it will come. But it is just mentioned here that Yudhishthira Maharaj started seeing some bad omens. And the third verse, see the purport, read the purport. You can read the translation also.
He saw the direction of the eternal time has changed. And this way, this was very fearful. There were disruptions in the seasonal regularities. The people in general had become very greedy, angry and deceitful. And he saw that they were adopting foul means of livelihood.
So different inauspiciousness is explained. One is seasonal irregularities. Like the other day I was traveling in one of the villages in a vehicle. So they were telling that the rains which are supposed to come in June, July, they came in November, December last year. Because of which what happened? When the crops are coming up and the rains fall, they all fall away. Crops fall away. So you lose all the paddy. So they say that it's a big loss to have rains in November, December, January time. But it's very valuable to have rains during June, July. Correct, no? So this is called seasonal irregularity. Correct, no? Seasonal irregularity. So you find, sometimes suddenly you find, you know, the February month or March month, there's a heavy rain. It's an irregular timing. It is not supposed to come at that time. And that too, it goes only for half an hour and then it stops. You know, it doesn't go for many days. It doesn't supply much water also. So in this way, Yudhishthira Maharaj found that there were seasonal irregularities. Yeah. In the purport, you see, Prabhupada writes very powerful purport. Read the purport.
When civilization is disconnected from the loving relation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, symptoms like the changes of seasonal regulations, foul means of livelihood, greed, anger and...
Foul means of livelihood means cheating others. Like, you know, you buy some commodity for 200 rupees and you sell it for 20,000 rupees. Like that, making a big money. You see? Foul means of livelihood, cheating, or under the table money, they say, no? Bribing and things like that. And then greed?
Greed, anger and fraudulence become rampant. The change of seasonal regulations refers to one season's atmosphere becoming manifest in another season. For example, the rainy seasons being transferred to autumn or the fructification of the fruits and flowers from one season to another season. A godless man is invariably greedy, angry and fraudulent. Such a man can earn his livelihood by any means, black or white. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthir, all the above symptoms were conspicuous by their absence. But Maharaj Yudhishthir was astonished to experience even a slight change in the godly atmosphere of his kingdom, and at once he suspected the disappearance of the Lord.
Yeah. And then below, after 2-3 lines, he's saying, a man becomes too greedy for wealth and power when he has no higher objective in life. And when he thinks that this earthly life for a few years is all in all. In materialistic consciousness, due to which man becomes greedy and everything. So next verse he says, Jihmapra ayam javakritam shatyamishram cha sauhridam Pitramatra Sukhrit Bratra Dampati Nam Chakalkanam. See, Jihma Praya means there were cheating in the ordinary dealings between people. He observed it. And he saw Shatya Karmam. Shatya Mishram means he saw duplicity in the dealing even between friends also. And Pitra Matra Sukhrit Bratra. Mother, father, you know, even amongst well-wishers and brothers. Dampatiyana means husband, wives, chakalkanam, quarrel, mutual quarrel. All this was happening. So, read the translation.
All ordinary transactions and dealings became polluted with cheating, even between friends.
Yeah,
and
for example, two people may be friends, you know, they may be, I have seen when times are, you know, before Kali Yuga, there was another Yuga when one farmer was digging the ground for plowing the field. Suddenly he got a gold pot, not a pot, gold pot, pot with gold coins. Immediately he took the pot and took to the king, took to the neighbor and said, "Sir, I purchased this land from you just a week ago. So I found this gold coins in my this thing, so you take it." And that man said, "Now that I have sold the land to you, so this pot with gold coin belongs to you," he said. Then this man said, "Okay, your logic appears all right, but somehow my conscience doesn't allow me. Because, you know, I only paid you for the land, and I didn't pay you for this gold coins. Now how can I take it? Whether it is proper or not, I don't understand." And they both had a quarrel. No. Then they took it to the king, took the matter to the king. And when the king heard it, "Okay, in order for his conscience to be satisfied, let him give half of that gold coins to you," he said. And then he gave half to him and he gave half to him. So both of them got, you know, 100 gold coins. And then they paid tax to the king, 25 gold coins they paid to the king also. 50 gold coins were given to king without even the king asking. Both the farmers did. This was in an age before Kali Yuga. When Kali Yuga came, the same instance happened. You know what happened? When that fellow dug the ground, you know, he found a pot with gold coins. He looked here and there. And the other farmer came running. He asked, "What is that sound coming? Show me." This fellow said, No, you have sold the land to me. Don't ask me what it is." This fellow understood something valuable. He snatched it and saw the gold coins. He said, "You are supposed to give it to me." And they both were fighting like anything, tooth and nail. In the meantime, there was a big fight that broke out with all the relatives and friends. And the matter was taken to the king. And the king said, "Both the fellows, you move aside, give that thing to me." He took it. He kept it himself only. The whole thing, he said, "Ultimately all land belongs to Raja only," he said. "Fortunately, now I needed some money and you got a whole pot of gold coins," he took it. This is what Yuga it is? Kali Yuga it is. So in this way, greed is seen in Kali Yuga. Here he's saying, that's why he's saying, Prabhupada is saying in the purport, four principles of malpractice, Prabhupada is saying. What are they? Errors, insanity, inability, and cheating. These are the four defects. Errors means to make mistakes. Insanity means illusion. Inability, to commit mistakes, and cheating. Yeah. These are signs of imperfection. Out of the four, the propensity to cheat others is most prominent, Prabhupada is saying. And this cheating practice is there in the conditioned souls. Because the conditioned souls are primarily in the material world, imbued with an unnatural desire to lord it over the material world. Why do people try to cheat? Because they want to lord it over the material world. See, why this lording over has a connection to cheating? Can anybody say? How are these two things connected? For lording over other living entities, why do you have to cheat? Yes? Okay, by hiding our mistakes, we want to prove I am all perfect. So we can lord over, okay? Yes. We have to cheat them. Correct. Actually, now Duryodhana could not defeat the Pandavas in war. So what he resorted to? Gambling match. Because he found a shortcut by which he could cheat them and get their kingdom. Correct, no? That is one example. So when one is having inability, he has inability, so he tried to overpower the Pandavas by a wrong way. Correct, no? So one has to cheat, to lord over them. And you will find now Ravana wants to steal Sita and enjoy. So why can't he fight with Ram and take Sita and go? He cannot do that because he knows already that I sent to Janasthan, Karadushan and 14,000 soldiers. And Ram told Lakshman, "Lakshman, take care of Sita. Don't do anything else. Just take care of her. You don't have to fight for me. I will single-handedly finish these fellows." So one Ram finished 14,000 soldiers in Janasthan. And this news was, Janasthan is in Nasik. And this news was taken by Shurpanakha to Ravana. Now when Ravana wanted to steal Sita, why he wanted to steal? He resorted to cheating. Correct, no? So he wants to lord over Sita. But if he goes in a righteous way, can he do? He cannot do. So therefore he is cheating. So wherever we want to lord over in our life, we will see there is some cheating involved. Speaking lies. For example, say a company is thinking of giving a promotion to one man. One good man, you know, who has done a lot of good work or something. Then the other person may go and fill up the ears of the boss. Like that. Basically what he will tell is, boss, you are giving him promotion, I feel very sorry. And boss will ask, why, what happened? You know this man, how he criticized you behind your back? He has gone, said this, said that. He looks like a gentleman. Huh? People also praise him, but people are all innocent, you see. Yeah? And you should not get cheated. And if you give him promotion, tomorrow he'll climb on your head. Huh? He will do this because he has said this. So some people, we call it as a Kaan Bardena, we say, no, in Hindi. Huh? Like that. And then the boss also gets fearful. Huh? And the boss will think that, you know, oh, I never knew. I thought he is a very good man. Now I understand who he is. Then the boss will not give him promotion. He will give somebody else. Correct, no? So then what happens? Then the boss gives promotion to this man. Who? Who spoke in his ears. He gives promotion to him. So this is the things which happen in outside world also. So you will find that a man fills up ears of a boss and he gets promoted. So, he actually wanted to get promoted, but he didn't have the qualification. You understand, no? Therefore, what he did some golmaal, we say, and then he got promotion. You understand, no? You understand what I'm saying? So, the cheating is adapted, or the golmaal is adapted for getting something without qualification, like that. And in Kali Yuga, it is profuse, he's telling. And then he's saying, a living entity being in his pure state is not conditioned by the laws. Because in his pure state, he is conscious that a living being is eternally subservient to the Supreme Being. Thus, it is always good for him to remain subservient instead of falsely trying to lord it over the property of the Supreme Lord. In the conditioned state, the living being is not satisfied. Even if he actually becomes the lord of all that he surveys, which he never becomes. And therefore, he becomes a victim of all kinds of cheating. Even with his nearest and most intimate relations, he's saying. See, what Prabhupada is saying? Actually, one tries to become a lord of all he surveys. See, this is a very good word to say. You cannot try to become lord of the whole world. We all know it also. Suddenly, you cannot become Bill Gates or something like that. So, we try to become a lord of the area that we survey. For example, if you are in a department, you try to become lord of that department. Whatever is given to you. What is the meaning of becoming a lord of department? My way or highway? Or my way or wrong way? Understand? No? Or there is a desire to take all the credit oneself. That is also one wrong desire. Or there is a desire to tell everybody that the other fellows in the department didn't do anything. I did everything. Or I told the ideas. They just implemented it. That's all. They have no brain. See, if somebody says, my department people, none of them have brain, we have to ask them, what about you? Because if you are a man of brain, you should have given at least some brain to them also. If none of them have brain, and you are their boss, you must be a super brainless fellow. Is it not true? So there is a tendency in the living being to lord over the area that he surveys. You understand, no? Any area, small area also he gives. And then you can extend this further and further. Somebody may extend it within one family. Somebody may extend it in one project. Somebody can extend it to one state or one country. And Hiranyakashipu extended it up to all the three worlds. Was he satisfied? That is what Prabhupada says. Generally speaking, nobody can become like Hiranyakashipu. You cannot become lord of all the three worlds. So, but after becoming also, he was not satisfied. And then Prabhupada says, generally the living entity is unable to. So what he does, if he cannot, for example, Trishanku wanted to go to Swarga, but he didn't want to do Yajna. So what he did? He adopted a wrong means through Vishwamitra to get a seat in heaven, correct? No? Like some people try in a college to get a seat by merit, but they didn't get meritorious marks. So they give some money under the table and they come into the college. Imagine somebody is going for MD surgery. And they give 60 lakh rupees to get a seat. And somehow or other, in another 2-3 years, they finish MD and open a hospital. He becomes a surgeon. He's taking a knife and calling you, come here. You know, I will operate you now. Is it safe to go for operation? And he gave 60 lakhs and got the degree. What he learned in surgery, we don't know. Whether he learned to kill people or to save people. Correct, no? So, therefore you'll find in this world, people who cannot go by the straight route will take shortcuts. This is a very well-known thing. Correct, no? If you cannot get a seat in a college, then you have some political support or you give some money under the table. Correct, no? Different things people do in this world also. So, therefore, I was saying, like for example, some parents want to show that, you know, my son is an engineer. And they find that he has got poor marks. Then they'll give some big money, you know, 20 lakhs, 30 lakhs, 40 lakhs, and then get a seat. And then he finishes engineering and comes out. Now they can say, now our son is an engineer. Correct, no? So, therefore he is telling here, they try to lord it over the property of Supreme, and they are never satisfied in any position. They want to go on increasing, like Alexander went on increasing, like that. Which he never becomes. Therefore, he becomes victim of all kinds of cheating, even with his nearest. And now, for example, Ajamila wants to lord over the prostitute whom he brought. But the more you want to lord over, you know, either prostitute or somebody, a very big person, to lord over a big person also, you need a lot of energy and power. Like Motilal Nehru was having one servant from America as a watchman. But you had to pay a very heavy salary to him, because to get a white elephant as your servant, not very easy. Correct, no? So, later on Prabhupada once said, see, he got one servant paying so much money and I don't pay a single penny to my servants. And I have thousands of Americans coming and fanning and, you know, and wearing dhoti kurta and dedicating their lives. Correct, no? So Prabhupada didn't lord over. He introduced them to the Supreme Lord. Isn't it? Whereas Motilal Nehru wanted to lord over American Kurga, American watchman. So he had to pay a very heavy. Ajamila wanted to lord over a prostitute. You have to pay a very heavy fee. Correct, no? If one has to become a boss of some already big person, then one has to pay a very heavy fees. Therefore, he resorted to killing people, cheating people, looting people and all that. You see? And we also in our life, we are not satisfied with the chota mata people under us. We want to lord over. Like somewhere one devotee was telling he asked a question. Of course, one to one he asked me personally. He said, Prabhuji, I feel great satisfaction when big devotees come and attend my classes. You know, he said. When big devotees. So is it a Vaishnava attitude or not? I asked. So what do you think about it? And especially I want to see my equals and superiors coming and attending. Is it a good attitude or not? What do you think? You're a little doubtful about it? Don't doubt about it. This is very dangerous consciousness. Actually, to want to have very big people sitting in here, that means, you know, my lecture is so important that, you know, even that person attended my lecture. Tum kuch soch lo. Lecture kaisa hoga. Kisne attend kiya my lecture? That person must have come to the temple accidentally and your class happened to be your Bhagavatam class. He just came and sat because he's supposed to attend Bhagavatam class. He came. It's not that you are giving, so he came and sat. Correct, no? So, in this way, this is also desired, Lord. So, when imagine you want to go and give advice to a devotee who is already very intelligent. So you want to lord over him, then what you have to do? You have to work very hard. To Therefore, to lord over other living beings, one has to work very hard and one has to resort to cheating and other things, he's saying. Therefore, we many times tell lies to people. Actually, like Brahma also told Hiranyakashipu, no, darshanam nafalam mama, he said, no. Hiranyakashipu, you know, please understand, the penances you did for me will never go in vain. Now, don't think I am ordinary person, you have worshipped the right person. Now, I will give you something which no one has given to anybody. Therefore, Brahma exceeded his quota in giving. Correct, no? So, for which he got a little chastisement from Lord Narasimha later. Correct, no? So, in this way, this is called prestige, we call it. In such an unsatisfied state of affairs, there is no harmony. Even between father and sons, there is quarrel. Between husband and wife, there is quarrel. The world of hypocrisy can be checked only by counteraction through devotional service to Lord and nothing else. Prabhupada is saying, this is a solution. And this is all unknown in the previous ages. You see? And then he's speaking to his younger brother. And all the bad omens are explained. You have your Subodhini guide with you? You don't have your, no? In there all the bad omens are given, I think. Just check it. Yeah, I have it. Okay, that will come later. But here you come to verse number 8 purport, there is something very important. Okay, he's asking Maharaj Yudhishthir in 6th verse, you see. In 6th verse, Maharaj Yudhishthir is calling Bhima and asking, I sent Arjuna to Dwaraka to meet his friends and to learn from the personality of Godhead, Krishna, of his program of work. Since he departed, 7 months have passed, yet he has not returned. I don't know factually how things are going there. And then he's asking this question in 8th one. Is he the capital H? Means who? Krishna. Is Krishna going to quit his earthly pastimes? As Devarshi Narada indicated, has that time already arrived? He's asking. So this is a connection to that 1.13.50 verse. There he said about it. And then Prabhupada gives a purport, one very important point in the purport, about 8-10 lines from the bottom of the last part of the purport. Please read that when Maharaj Yudhishthir was lamenting.
When Maharaj Yudhishthir was lamenting the possibility of his disappearance, it was just in pursuance of the custom of lamenting the disappearance of a great friend. But factually, the Lord never quits his transcendental body, as is misconceived by the less intelligent persons. Such less intelligent persons have been condemned by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita, and they are known as the Mudhas. That the Lord left his body means then that he left again his plenary portions in the respective dhams, transcendental abodes, and he left his Virat Rupa in the material world.
Yeah. See, when Lord Krishna leaves to the spiritual world, means what? He will leave the Virat Rupa with in the Virat's form. He has all these components in him, inbuilt in him. He has also the form of Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. He has also the form of Kshiradakshaya Vishnu. He has also the form of Mahavishnu. All are inside him, inside Krishna only. And with his own self-same Swarupa, he will ascend to spiritual world, which is explained in that verse. What is that? Krishne Swadamo Upagate Dharma Jnana Adibhisaha. Like that he says, isn't it? So, like in sometimes in Mahabharata, you will find that when Krishna left the world, there is a mention of Krishna leaving his body also, just like the Pandavas and other people leaving their body. So, elsewhere, I don't know which purport, I didn't read in Bhagavatam, but in case Krishna left his material body, looking like a material body, why did he leave the body? If somebody asks you, somebody has read Mahabharata, they ask you. In Bhagavatam, I didn't come across that type of information. But in case somebody says that Krishna left his material body, that is a proof that Lord's body is material. They can argue now. What will you tell them? Yes.
Actually, Krishna left his body just to make sure that fools who don't want to accept him, give them some opportunity that you know, this is what they want to get convinced that Krishna's body is material. So to continue them, whatever illusion they are in.
Okay, that is one answer you can give. Avajanati Maam Mudha, which Krishna also says that. Okay, what else?
Come here, even the universal form also come, Virat Rupa. So what Krishna leaves is a material Virat Purusha form, which is belongs to the material world. He goes to the
spiritual abode. This is what Prabhupada explained in 2-3 places I have seen. That also Prabhupada says in some other places. See, the Lord, when he is watched by people like Karna, Duryodhana, Dushasana, they only see the Virat form of the Lord. And when devotees like Kunti, or Yudhishthira Maharaj look at the Lord, they see the Swarupa of the Lord, which is like our Radha Vrindavan Chandra. That is Swarupa of the Lord. So the devotees of the Lord see the Swarupa of the Lord, whereas non-devotees see the Virat Rupa of the Lord, which means Lord has two components. Virat is a material component and the Swarup is a spiritual component. Just as all of us sitting here, we have a material identification tag and we have a spiritual identification also. Like for example, your relatives, they generally see you from what identification? Material identification. If they don't know what is ISKCON and everything. Like when Srila Prabhupada came to India, the Mallik family people came and they were very proud and very happy that Hamara ladka America mein jaakar prachar karke aaya hai. Amerike logon ko bhakta banakar aaya hai. Sare dunya ko nacha raha hai. Hare Krishna Kirtan mein. Hamara Mallik parivar ka ladka. So what is their consciousness? Metal consciousness. Nothing to do with spiritual. They are thinking that our surname, our family, our relative. So they saw him as either a grandson or they saw him as, one of the relatives, cousins. Like that they were seeing when Prabhupada had come. They themselves are worshippers of Durga. When Prabhupada came in the Radha Govind Mandir, there was no Radha Govindji. In that place, they had kept a big Durga deity. And Radha Govindji was sent to upstairs in a separate private room. So they were worshippers of Durga and they were proud that our son has earned some good reputation and come, our family boy, like that. But they were seeing Prabhupada more from a material point of view. Correct, no? So Prabhupada writes that in the Lilamrita, you will read that they were seeing more from material point of view. They didn't know the true glory of Prabhupada. On the other hand, those who are devotees, those dedicated to Prabhupada, they know what Prabhupada is, who Prabhupada is, what is his spiritual personality. Correct, no? Similarly, when you go to give lectures also, what is the first thing that impresses people? Your material qualification, correct, no? Oh, you are from NIT, you are from IIT, you are an engineer? Then why did you leave everything and join? Correct, no? People ask like that. So gradually, as they advance over the years, they understand what is the meaning of a devotee. Correct, no? So they first, similarly, the people see the material side of a devotee, the spiritual side of a devotee. So Prabhupada explains in this purport, see what he says here, the last line. The Lord left his body means that he left again his plenary portions in the respective dhams, transcendental abodes, as he left his Virat Rupa in the material world. So other than this, if you see, thus although the Lord appeared to enter into mystic yoga trance, the word adagdva indicates that Lord, since his body is purely spiritual, bypassed the formality of burning and directly entered into his own abode in the spiritual sky. This point has been elaborately explained by Jiva Goswami in his commentary to this verse. So what is this verse? This is 11:31.6. 11:31.6, if you see. See here. What he says here. Please repeat this verse. Lokabhiramam svatanum dharanadhyana mangalam yoga dharana yagneya dagva dhama vishatsvakam. Yeah. See here, without employing the mystic Agni meditation to burn up his transcendental body, which is the all-attractive resting place of all worlds and the object of all contemplation and meditation, Lord Krishna entered into his own abode. That word is used, avishat swakam. See, dham. Dham means abode, avishat means entered, and swakam means his own. So this is one verse. Another verse is well known. Which one? Krishne swadhamopagate. Correct? Dharma jnana divisaha. Correct? So Krishne swadhamopagate. He entered into his own abode. So these two verses talk about Lord entering his abode. But besides this, I have not read in Bhagavatam. But in case anybody has read in Mahabharata, even in case the Lord, like for example, in the Mahabharata, it is also explained that when Parikshit was cursed to die in 7 days, he tried to call his ministers and made some arrangements to save his life. Make some kind of water body around his palace and so that the snake cannot come there and everything. And then the snake is coming from a fruit or something like that. So this is one kind of version some of the Karmakandi people will talk about. So which is not explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. If you see, in the Vaishnava explanation, it is not given there. But even if somebody says that why did Parikshit try to save himself, actually every individual has the right to save his life, to make your attempts to save your life. But then beyond that, one should leave it to the Lord. But there also there is a mention that Parikshit heard Bhagavatam. So the question is whether he tried to save himself and hear Bhagavatam, or without making any protective mechanism, he heard Bhagavatam. But in Bhagavatam, the glorification of his hearing Bhagavatam is only mentioned. So I asked this question to one senior devotee, why it says in Mahabharata that he made an attempt to protect. He said, every jiva has the right to endeavor for self-protection, especially for such leaders like Parikshit, who are giving shelter to the whole world. They should make an effort to protect themselves and then depend on the Lord. So one should do that. Even if you see from such a lower understanding point of view also, still it cannot be counted as wrong. But in Bhagavatam, there is no mention of it. Similarly, in Mahabharata, you will find explanation about the Pandavas. Even Yudhishthira Maharaj had to go and see the hell once. He didn't have to enter hell, but he had to see hell. Similarly, Bhima is falling Draupadi is falling and things like that. Because Draupadi laughed at Duryodhana, she slipped and fell. Bhima fell for breaking the thigh of Duryodhana or something. Whereas Duryodhana entered the heaven. Like that the Mahabharata explains. But in Bhagavatam, if you see, it explains that Yudhishthira Maharaj and all the Pandavas and Draupadi and Kunti, they all go to the north towards Himalayas and everything. And eventually, they go to the Swarga and they are sitting in chairs and right opposite they find Kauravas. Duryodhana is sitting and all the Kauravas are sitting. On this side, the Pandavas are sitting. And after that, the Pandavas go to spiritual world. And Duryodhana remains there only. That is the Bhagavatam conclusion, you will see. Which is very understandable because they were pure devotees, so they are not supposed to be stuck in the heaven. The very attitude Pandavas had will certainly take them to the spiritual world. Correct, no? So, the Karmakandi understanding goes for a lower understanding. And the Karmakandi understanding of Mahabharata makes one think that Krishna is a cousin brother of the Pandavas and things like that. They are thinking. They have no full understanding, a full-blown understanding of who Krishna is. Whereas in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the external superficial outlook is rejected. It gives a total outlook. These two verses are very clearly mentioning about how Krishna enters his own abode, along with Dharma, Jnana and everything. So we will conclude with this today. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.